State of opportunity.
State of opportunity.
I want to be a firefighter.
A ballerina.
I want to be a Batman.
This is a State of Opportunity documentary from Michigan Radio. I'm Jennifer Guerra. Today, Connections, the Power of Networks, Part 1.
When I say the word network, how would you guys describe network? Like, what does the word network mean to you?
Communications.
I would say, like, different branches of people that you can, like,
reach out to. Like, I sort of picture it visually, like, almost like a family tree or something.
You hear the word, I think of getting connected.
Networking means when you connect with professionals in your desired field or your current occupation, and then they introduce you to, like, their knowledge, and then their knowledge.
Well, to me, when I think of networking, I picture, like, a spider's web where everything is connected together. If you have connections, then you can get a lot of help.
I like that. Let's stick with that spider web image for a minute. It's a good one. So if you think of a network as a spider's web, maybe you would be in the middle.
Okay, we're just going to turn this on here. Okay.
And maybe your parents would be right above you in the web.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Dad.
That's my mom and dad.
Hi, Millie.
And my little girl in the background. If we are going to talk about networks, specifically if I am going to talk about my network, these two, my parents, are right at the heart of it, as close to the center of the web as you can get. In some circles, network is a dirty word, something we don't like to talk about, lest we admit out loud that maybe, just maybe, we did not get where we are in the world today by grit and determination and hard work alone. I'm guessing many of us got where we are through a combination of hard work and a few helpful connections along the way. Maybe it was that relative who gave you your first summer job, or your friend's mom who let you clerk at her law office so you could have something impressive to put on your resume, or, you know, maybe that math teacher who wrote a letter of recommendation on your behalf to the school of your dreams, which also happened to be his alma mater. Networks are all around us, if we're lucky. Here, I'm going to show you how my network helped me get here, literally right here behind this microphone, talking to you. It starts with my parents.
Okay, so for the record, we should introduce who you are. So you are?
Ava Guerra.
Also known as?
Mom.
And you are?
Frank Guerra.
Also known as?
Dad.
Dad, okay, thank you.
Well, you were.
My parents were incredibly supportive in all the ways you hope parents will be. They got me to school every day. They signed me up for a bunch of extracurricular activities, took me on lots of adventures. Sure, I probably wanted another Cabbage Patch Kid, but hey, what 8-year-old in 1986 didn't? But in terms of basic needs and all that, I was more than covered. They had my back financially, emotionally, and academically. And for some reason, they insisted that we, me and my brothers, write a lot, which, now that I think of it, is kind of key if you want to be a reporter.
What did you guys do when we got in trouble? Do you remember if, like, me and my brothers got in a fight? Yeah, do you remember?
Well, I didn't let you continue arguing. I told you each to go and write a paragraph or two, whatever it took, as to your perception of what happened, and then hand it to the other person so that they could read it and see how you felt.
So you had me writing essays, like when I was six. Do you remember these essays, Dad?
Yes, I do.
We had to read them out loud.
So my network helped me develop, among many other things, empathy and early writing skills. And then, of course, there were the people who actually introduced me to public radio, like my friend Georgia.
My name is Georgia Flight. I am 37 years old, and I live in Montauk, New York.
Georgia and I met in college. She used to play NPR all the time.
All things considered, to get my news wrap up. And
okay, let's pan her to the left side of the spider's web. Just above her in the web, my friends Ellen.
Hello.
And Margaret.
Hello.
Two longtime friends who helped me prep for the GRE.
Glad I was there to help you.
And gave me advice about grad school. Over on the right side of the web, you've got my friend Gavin, who got me a good paying temp job in New York so I could pay rent while I was in grad school.
You know, it sort of was a chain reaction. So one Michigan person got another Michigan person.
And then when it comes to the radio side of things, I had a lot of people give me a hand. Like Angie Hamilton Lowe.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, Angie. And Julianne Welby.
Hi, Jen.
They taught me everything about radio, from the nuts and bolts of how to record an interview.
Digital audio editing probably was what we started with.
To how to come up with a good story.
We mainly talk a lot about ideas and try to draw.
I used Julianne as a reference to land this job 10 years ago. Back then, it was rather low paying, so there were my parents back at the center of the web helping me make ends meet.
Yes, we tried to help you out. Really strong.
That right there, what you're hearing, that is the sound of a strong, robust network.
A large school with a huge network.
Now imagine you don't have teachers in your network who can coach you, or close friends who have time and resources to help you when you need it. And the heart of your web, your parents, aren't around or are not capable of supporting you. That's what a network can sound like for somebody in poverty. Somebody like Keisha Johnson.
I slept outside once in the alley. Yep. My mom was in the house drunk, and we're bamming on the door, and my brothers and sisters and I. We bamming. We couldn't get in, so I slept outside on a mattress in the alley.
Were you scared?
I mean, I had to do what I had to do. I slept on a porch a couple of times before, because my mom would be in the house drunk and high, and we couldn't get in.
Johnson grew up poor, and she's still poor now. But she has four reasons she wants to climb out of poverty. Reason number one, Keisha's six-year-old son, Caleb. Reason number two,
how old are you, Journey?
Five.
And what grade are you in?
Kindergarten.
Reason number three, the Halloween-loving three-year-old, Alan.
I'm gonna be Spider-Man.
And reason number four.
Oh, there you go.
Keisha's youngest boy, one-year-old Ian.
Love my babies. I want my children to be loving, caring, not violent. You know what I mean? It's I don't want them to go through what I went through.
I first met Keisha Johnson 3 years ago when she was 24 years old. We've talked every few months since then. One of the things I've consistently noticed about her is that no matter what is going on in her life, she always comes across as positive and upbeat, quick to smile. That is no small feat, considering the world Keisha Johnson grew up in. There were no nursery rhymes, lullabies, or bedtime stories for Keisha and her three siblings when they were growing up in Detroit. There were too many roaches in the house and never enough food. Keisha's mom did not go to college or have a steady job, and she never sobered up enough to raise her children. Keisha's dad is serving life in prison for murdering his stepbrother. Eventually, Keisha and her siblings moved in with their grandmother, Ella. Keisha says she thrived there. She got into college, but then things started to slip. The only network she had was Grandma Ella, and Ella was far away from campus. She had nobody to lean on for help or guidance. She sold drugs, she got pregnant, and dropped out.
Come see our room.
Can I come see your room?
Yes.
Okay. Do you mind?
Today, the world Keisha Johnson is trying to create for her four children is vastly different from the world she grew up in. Keisha Johnson wants to provide a future for her kids, but how do you do that when you're pretty much on your own? I'm Jennifer Guerra. Today on our State of Opportunity special, networks. Why we need them, how we form them, and what to do if you have no network to begin with. That was the reality Keisha Johnson faced 3 years ago. Today, she's 27 years old and a little better off. More on that in a minute. But first, I ask her to think back to what her life was like 3 years ago when we first met.
If you were looking for a job, did you have people in your network who had jobs that could help you out?
No.
So you didn't have somebody who was working a job that you could be like, oh, hey, can you get me an interview or anything like that?
No.
What about if you, I know your car wasn't working so great. Did you have anybody in your network who could help you out with car payments or help you fix the car or help you get a new lease?
Car payments? Definite no. Fixing the car, that's when I learned to fix all my cars myself, watching my grandfather and my uncle. I just watched them work on the cars and then I did it myself because I knew I couldn't afford it.
What else do we use networks for? So for jobs, for financial security? Yeah. So who did you have to lean on?
My grandma. That was it. I didn't have anybody else. I can always go to my grandma and talk. But other than that, my networking was very, very, very minimal.
So Keisha did what thousands of others in her situation do every day. She turned to nonprofits as well as the state and federal governments for help, and she got a lot of it. Still does. Food stamps, medical insurance, daycare, housing assistance, and job training. And it's helped. The state and nonprofits stepped in when no one else could or would. They became her de facto network. But it still isn't enough. You can't call up the state when you're short on diapers or need help with your broken down car. If you have to go to work and your kids are sick at home, a nonprofit isn't going to step in to babysit or buy you a new laptop for school. That is where these folks come in.
This is exciting.
Have you ever been here?
Never. This is my first time.
I'm with Keisha Johnson as we walk up to the front door of Judy Friedman's house, a beautiful colonial in one of Ann Arbor's toniest neighborhoods.
Hi!
Can I take off my shoes?
No, just wipe them on.
Judy's there, along with Gary and Carol Johnson, no relation to Keisha Johnson. Up until 3 years ago, they were all strangers. Nobody knew each other. That is until they heard Keisha share her story on Michigan radio. After she heard the radio story, Judy Friedman turned to her husband and said,
"You know, something really is motivating me to try to meet this woman. I feel so touched by her, and I feel for her situation, and I want to see if there's a way we can help." And he said, "Go for it."
In a later radio story I did about Keisha, I followed her as she walked her kids in the freezing cold to and from daycare because her car had broken down. When Carol and Gary Johnson heard that story, well, I'll let Gary take it from here.
It appeared to me that she had exhausted whatever network she had. It was probably minimal in the first place, but she had exhausted it. So we thought, well, so many good things have happened to us, not all. And we thought, well, it's time to be part of a network, not to be looking for one.
And so Gary and his wife bought Keisha a used car and drove it from where they live in Milford over to Keisha's apartment in Detroit. After they dropped it off, they took Keisha and her kids shopping as well. That car that the Johnsons bought for Keisha was key. It got Keisha to and from her job training program at Focus Hope, a nonprofit in Detroit. Without a car, she might have had to drop out. That program led to a job for Keisha after she graduated, so having the Johnsons provide her with a car to and from class was essential. Judy Friedman has done all kinds of things for Keisha as well. She's bought Christmas gifts for Keisha's kids and a real Christmas tree for the apartment. She also helps out with money on occasion. Even with a job, money is tight for Keisha, so Judy's generosity helps Keisha buy much-needed items like shoes for the kids and diapers for the baby. Judy also hooked up Keisha with a laptop and printer so Keisha could do her homework. She's also become a kind of mentor for Keisha, helping her stay on track and focused as Keisha tries to climb her way out of poverty.
That's what I love about Mr. Johnson and Judy and Ms. Johnson. Like, they were there for me when I didn't have no one else. I have my family, don't get me wrong, but my family is barely making it. When you have a network, it's not saying easy, but you're on a narrow road, but it opens it up a little bit wider for you to hopefully succeed. So a network is very important, and I'm so happy I have that now.
There's no saying where Keisha Johnson and her four kids would be right now if Judy Friedman and the Johnsons hadn't heard Keisha on the radio and forced their paths to cross. As Keisha herself points out, when everybody you know is barely making it themselves, it's extremely challenging to move up the ladder. Keisha did the best she could with her limited network, her boyfriend, the state, and a few nonprofits, but it still wasn't enough. It took people from way outside her network to take a chance on her, step in, and offer support. People who found out about her because a reporter told her story on the radio. Something most people in her situation will never have the chance to experience. Coming up, when you don't have a network, but the network finds you.
I kind of view this as our kids' country club.
This is where they're making the connections for themselves. This is where they're talking to so-and-so who could help get them a job over the summer. They're talking to someone who can help put in a good word for them at a university or a scholarship fund. So it really gives our kids access to some people that they would never have access to.
How one school connects low-income high school students with white-collar professionals. We'll hear about that tomorrow. This is State of Opportunity from Michigan Radio.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.